Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Motormouth Mosey Radio Show. You have reached the man cave here in Redan, Georgia. I am your host, Motormouth Mosey. What we going to do tonight? Talk sports. We've got some college football. We've got some college volleyball we want to give a shout out to. But more than anything, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to what I have to say. Whether you're listening live or you're listening on an archived episode or you're listening to a podcast via iTunes, I just want to say thank you for listening in. Thank you for tuning into our little show. You're more than welcome to call in at 347-945-7975. That's 347-945-7975. If you're interested in making a comment on the show, you can also log in via Facebook to our Blog Talk Radio site. We're chatting and talking at the same time, so if you hear a little pause in my talk, that means I'm probably typing and responding to somebody online. More than likely what I'll try to do, since they're listening, is I'll try to answer them as I talk. First of all, the top thing on my head right now is to thank Coach Dave Clawson. People are going like, who? What? Coach Dave Clawson at Bowling Green University, I want to thank him for turning around a team that in the middle of the season lost games to Indiana, lost games to Mississippi State, and lost a game to Toledo in the Mid-American Conference. I just want to say thank you for turning that thing around, getting on a roll, going 45-3 over Miami, 49-0 over Ohio, 58-7 over Eastern Michigan, 24-7 over Buffalo, and a 47-27 victory over then undefeated and topped and 14th ranked the Wolfpack of Northern Illinois in the MAC championship game. I want to thank Coach Dave Clawson for turning that program around, winning the MAC championship, and getting the opportunity to go to Wake Forest and run their program. The reason why I want to thank him is because it gave an opportunity to a friend, a young man, and a former teammate to become the new head coach at Bowling Green University in the Mid-American Conference, which is one of the BCS non-automatic qualifying schools, conferences. But it gave Coach Dino Babers out of Eastern Illinois the opportunity to take over their program. Congratulations to Coach Dino Babers. He will now be going against Buffalo, Ohio, Akron, Kent State, Massachusetts, Miami of Ohio, Northern Illinois. Those are the types of teams that he'll be going up against in the Mid-American Conference. I wish Coach Dino Babers nothing but the best. Coach Dino Babers is a 52-year-old coach who I played college ball with at the University of Hawaii. He came to the University of Hawaii out of Morse High School in San Diego. He bounced around for a good 30 years as an assistant coach, he did what he had to do. He assisted coach at different schools all over the country. He was at UCLA, Pitt, Texas A&M, Arizona, San Diego State. And then he got the opportunity after coaching at A&M with Coach Art Briles to take over the Eastern Illinois position in the FCS Football Championship Series, which used to be 1AA. He took over that program, and he went 19-7 over 2 years. This year going 12-2, being ranked as high as number 2 in that division. They just lost in the quarterfinals to, I believe it was Towson. And I actually thought it was the semifinals, but they lost to Townsend and got knocked out of the playoffs. But within, that was Saturday. I believe it was Friday. And then as of Wednesday, he gets this position at Bowling Green University. So proud of him. Just want to say congratulations to him for doing a great job. Looks like Coach Howard's in the room. Hey, Coach Howard, aloha to you too, brother, especially considering you're back on the islands doing your thing. Want to say welcome to the show. Back to Bowling Green. Coach Clausen will still be taking Bowling Green into the bowl, and they will play against a Pitt team that went 6-6. Bowling Green ended up 10-3, 7-1 in the MAC. But we want to wish Coach Dino Babers, who I would assume is already probably starting to get himself situated at Bowling Green, to take the helm as soon as the bowl game is over with. I believe Pitt plays Bowling Green, the day after Christmas in a bowl game. So as soon as that's over with, Coach Babers will be the first. And also, it needs to be mentioned, and it's sad that I have to mention this, but he will be the first African-American head coach at Bowling Green University. So definitely want to wish him nothing but the best next season. It's going to take some growing pains, but it looks like Coach Clausen didn't leave the cupboard bare. Considering they went 10-3, hopefully there's some returning players that will take to Coach Baber's new system and be productive and not miss a beat. If anything, I have the type of run that Northern Illinois had this year, and the only difference is I hope that Bowling Green is able to finish it off. So that's the first thing that was on my mind. But since we're talking about college coaches, I also wanted to give a mention that Coach Kamji at Jackson State, which is an HBCU, which a lot of people don't really know about, this coach got fired for going 8-4 and 8-1 in the conference. And this is the Southwestern Athletic, the Southwest Athletic Conference. You got teams like Grambling and Southern in that conference. In fact, they played Southern in the SWAC championship. They lost in double overtime. And this coach got canned. And they gave the old, it was more than the record and that type of thing. Those type of rationales for why he's no longer employed there. And it only cost him a $50,000 buyout. The coach was only making $200,000 a year. The HBCUs are financially strapped. They've got some issues going on with many of the HBCUs financially. There was a time when schools like Jackson State and Morgan State and Grambling were feeder schools to the NFL, because a lot of African-American players back in the 60s and early 70s weren't allowed or weren't accepted into a lot of the big major programs just due to some racial racist beliefs back in the day. So a lot of players came out of HBCUs directly into the pros. When USC went down to Alabama and played Bear Bryant, and Sam Cunningham ran up and down the field on Alabama, Coach Bryant said, well, we need to get us some of them. And basically that led to more of an influx of African-American black players playing in major colleges. But what that also did is that took away a lot of the talent pool from the HBCUs. Some of the great players in the NFL went to HBCUs, because they couldn't get offers to go to Division I schools. Players like Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, it goes back, historically, Doug Williams. So a lot of players, for whatever reason, may not have gotten a look from big-time, quote-unquote, programs. So they went to HBCUs and still did their thing, and were still found and were still discovered and made fantastic pros. So you never know what types of players you're going to end up getting out of schools like Jackson State and Albany State and Morehouse. So it's just kind of a strange deal that he got fired for having a successful season, But I'm sure there's more to it. I'm not sure how they're going to rewrite that, but I wish him the best of luck. But I'm still kind of giddy that Coach Babers did get his opportunity to coach at a major program. Although Bowling Green may not be Alabama or Texas, it's still a very respected program in a respected conference, what they call the mid-major conference. For all you listening in, still listening to the Motor Mouth Moles radio show, the phone number is still 347-945-7975. Going to hop over and do a little NFL action. Sunday night, Tuesday night, we went over our picks, but I do want to review them real quickly. In the games this weekend, I am still sitting at 137-79-1, and my picks are as follows: Miami, Cincinnati, Kansas City, St. Louis, Cleveland, Dallas, Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay, San Diego, Baltimore, Philadelphia, San Francisco. Those are my picks. And as you may have noticed, as you real football fans, there was no Thursday night game tonight. My cousin was running around the house looking for the game, and there was none to be seen. So we're back to all the games being played on Sunday and Monday, which is the way it's supposed to be. And we'll see what's going to happen with some of the playoff ramifications that were set in place last week. Some teams will clinch, some teams will get eliminated, and then some teams, it will go to the very end. That's right, Coach Howard. I said real football fans. I still want to review my NFL power rankings, which I'm sure Coach Howard may not be so thrilled about because his San Diego Chargers are nowhere to be seen, but his lovely wife, Krista, will be thrilled with my rankings. At number five, I got a 10-4 New England Patriot team. At number four, I've got a 10-4 San Francisco 49er team. Now, you people who know me personally, you know that this has to be painful as it could possibly be for me to give a team by the name of the San Francisco 49ers any types of props at all, because we all know that Motor Mouth Mosley, a.k.a. San Francisco 49er hater. But I got to admit, I don't hate them as much as I used to. I kind of like some of their players. There's no Joe Montana around, so I can kind of like them a little bit. So I've got the San Francisco 49ers at number four. At number three, I've got my Kansas City Chiefs sitting at 11-3. Two losses to the Denver Broncos, and they've pretty much bum-rushed everybody else or found ways to win. So I don't have a problem having them be my number three team. At number two, I've got the Denver Broncos. Mini Plate will love that. Mini Plate loves the Denver Broncos. So at 11-3, I've got the Denver Broncos. Let me check and see what Coach Howard has to say. No, the Bolts are not on my radar. They may make the playoffs, but they're still not on my top five. Yeah, they do have a new attitude. This is true. So to review real quick, at number five, New England. Number four, San Francisco. Number three, Kansas City. Number two, the Denver Broncos, and at number one, drum roll please, the Seattle Seahawks, sitting at 12-2. The last place you want to visit in this playoff season will be Seattle. You don't want to play in front of that 12th man. You also don't want to go to Kansas City and play in front of that Missouri crowd, because they really ain't got a whole lot else going on. And they go buck wild over those Chiefs. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when it comes to playoff time. There may be a little shakeup going on with some of the teams and some of the programs, but we'll see how things pan out this weekend. A little tidbit of information. Coach Gary Kubiak got fired from the Houston Texans after a very disappointing season. I believe he's the only coach that the Texans have had in the franchise's existence. No, I think he's the second coach, because I remember they had one and they canned him early. But Coach Kubiak, Coach Kubiak was let go, even considering he had to fight through some health issues this year. He collapsed in the middle of at halftime of a football game, and no one knew what was really going on. But there's not a whole lot of sympathy in the state of Texas for football teams that don't win. Only the Dallas Cowboys can you get away with being mediocre and still keep your job. That's just unheard of in the state of Texas, and I'm not happy about it, but not going to go off on a tangent on the Dallas Cowboys. Going to try to keep it civil. But the Houston Texans, it has been noted, it has been reported that Coach Lovie Smith, formerly of the Chicago Bears, has interviewed for that position. I don't know what happened with Lovie after going 10-6 with the Chargers. I think they missed the playoffs, but they went 10-6. He got fired, and he just kind of disappeared for a year. I don't know if he took some time off. I don't know if nobody would talk to him. But in either case, there's been a reach out from one side or the other, and the Houston Texans' job seemed like a possibility for Coach Lovie Smith, a great defensive coach, little conservative on the offensive side, but definitely will whip your defense into shape. I think it would be a great choice down there. Of course, I had hoped that Dallas would pick him up, but that's another problem. We've got our own problems up in Big D as for a head coach and game management and how to play the game and how to call the game. So we'll see what happens with this Houston and Lovie possible relationship. Had dinner with a friend last night, and we were discussing University of Hawaii football among many other topics that came up. And I made the statement that I didn't think that Coach Chow deserved the opportunity to, if he was my choice, he wouldn't have been one of my choices to run the University of Hawaii program. And I was asked why. And I responded with that I wouldn't want a coach that no one else wanted. He interviewed for a few other positions in the past few years, and no one ever hired him as a head coach. He was an offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach, but he was never able to get the head coaching job. And the conversation ended up going down a road that I guess needed to be touched on. It was stated that race had an issue with him being hired. And not that I don't doubt that, but I think sometimes that may be an easy out for an excuse of why you don't get a position. Now, and I think that there's a major difference between getting the opportunity for those positions and not even getting a sniff at those positions. And that's been the struggle with a lot of African-American coaches, is that they don't even get an opportunity to sniff some of these positions as a head coach. They may be an offensive coordinator. They may be a defensive coordinator. They can be an associate head coach. But the numbers, not only in college football but also in the NFL, are disparagingly different between the number of players that participate versus the number of head coaches throughout the league. So I think when it comes to Coach Chow, I mean, to some degree, his record does kind of speak for himself. He hasn't proven to be successful at the University of Hawaii. It's not the Pac-12 or the SEC, but in 2 years, I believe he's got 4 victories, which is 4 more than I have, and I haven't coached a day there. So I'm not saying completely that race may not have been an issue at some of the other positions for Coach Chow, but I believe that a lot of black or African-American coaches never even got the opportunity to secure those positions, and that's the difference. He had opportunities, and they didn't. And even though he had the opportunity, he still couldn't secure positions at any of the other schools. Even with his supposedly great credentials of being this offensive guru, he still wasn't able to do it. So, yeah, there may have been an issue with race in some of these schools, but I think the race issue is more prevalent with African-American coaches than it was with Coach Chow. Let me see what Coach Howard has to say. As he is typing steadily, he says, I didn't want Coach Chow as the head coach to begin with, but now that he's there, they should give him some time to do what he needs to do to make this team. His offense is scoring points. His defense needs improvement. Coach Chow is a product of a Punahou. There's definitely for the Hawaii people who are listening, there definitely was some, I guess you wouldn't call it nepotism because he wasn't directly related to anyone, but there was definitely some cronyism that I believe had a lot to do with why he got the job over some of the candidates like Dino Babers, like Buzzy Preston, like Brian Norwood, like Dirk Cutter. I think that that had a lot to do with it. But again, folks, understand, when I talk, when I speak, I am not speaking for anybody else but myself. I am voicing my opinions, my takes. You're more than welcome to call in, and we can discuss it. We're not going to debate it because I'm not going to debate it and try to convince you that I'm right, and I would really appreciate it if you didn't try to convince me that you're right. But we can definitely discuss it. If at any time you want to have the conversation on Coach Chow, feel free to call in. Again, the phone number is 347-945-7975, and I've got Coach Howard in chat right now. So we've touched on a little NFL, we've touched on a little NCAA football, and there's still, in the last couple of minutes of the show, I want to touch on a couple of other things that are kind of near and dear to me, one being women's volleyball. Right now we're in the middle of the Final Four for the NCAA Women's Championship. Hawaii got knocked out in an earlier round against one of the schools that I despise the most, and that's Brigham Young University. If you're going to lose, you can't lose to them, but, you know, they did, and in fact, that wasn't the only victory over the last few days that BYU has over the University of Hawaii, which I will touch on in a couple of minutes. But in earlier action, you had Wisconsin playing against the University of Texas, who was the defending national champion, and a number 12 seed, Wisconsin, ends up knocking off Texas and going into the finals, and they will face the winner of a number 2 Penn State team and a number 3 University of Washington team, or as we call them, UW, in the finals. UW, the tournament is being played in Washington, and it's the home court for the University of Washington, so there's definitely going to be a little home court advantage for the Lady Huskies. But Penn State is a formidable foe, and I would definitely expect, although Wisconsin's on a roll, playing some great volleyball at this time of the season, peaking at the right time, I would still venture to say that the winner will be decided upon by who wins the Penn State-Washington game tonight. I expect them to knock off Wisconsin, although Wisconsin looked very, very strong against Texas and that high-powered offense that Texas has. As I said, the victory on the court that BYU had over Hawaii the last few days is compounded the last few days when the number one recruit in the state of Hawaii, the Gatorade Player of the Year, the American Family All-American first-team All-American, Alohi Robbins-Hardy, selected or signed with Brigham Young University instead of the University of Hawaii. So that was another big victory to get a player of her caliber and of her pedigree, because she's the daughter of Damian Hardy, who played volleyball at the University of Hawaii, and his wife, Mary Robbins, who also played volleyball at the University of Hawaii. So it's a big coup for BYU to go into Hawaii and get not only the state player of the year, but to get an All-American out of Dave Shoji's backyard. And you know, that's, to me, just unacceptable. Don't like it at all, because you can't go to that school. You can go just about anywhere else, but you can't go to that school. But, you know, things happen, so, and I'm sure the young lady had her reasons. And even though she'll be wearing the blue and white of BYU, I will still be cheering for her to have a successful career, to play great against everybody but Hawaii, to be very, very successful. But, that's a hard pill to swallow. And then lastly, the last thing I wanted to touch on was the news that was brought up today that Kobe Bryant, who is coming off an Achilles injury that he hurt last season, at the end of last season. He came back extremely quickly and was playing, knocking some rust off, getting better. Just found out today that he will be out another 6 weeks with a broken tibia, which is a bone in the leg, you people. Not everybody watches ER or Grey's Anatomy, but he broke his leg, and he's going to be out another 6 weeks. And at his age, which I believe is 30, 32, 35, somewhere in there, you know, healing is going to take a little bit more than what it used to. He came back from the Achilles quickly. Of course, you know, he's got the best doctors and the best trainers and the best of everything to bring him back, but, you know, the body is what the body is. And the Lakers have struggled this year. They were hovering around 500. I believe they still are. And, you know, Kobe is a major factor on that team, but they're going to have to go back to playing without him again. So Clippers look like still the Clippers are the best team in L.A. Love saying that. And to Coach Dave, to my former Rainbow number 40, David Tolumu, your Lakers are in trouble, son. Real quickly, last thing I want to touch on is, like I said, we've got some upcoming bowl games this weekend. Saturday, we've got number 20 Fresno at 11-1 playing against number 25 USC out of the Pac-12, and they're 9-4 in the Las Vegas Bowl. Excuse me, the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. And then also on Saturday, you've got a battle of state schools. You got Colorado State versus Washington State, a 7-6 team versus a 6-6 team, one out of the Mountain West, one out of the Pac-12, and they will be playing in the Gildan, New Mexico Bowl. I'll give you a quarter if you can tell me who in the world Gildan is. I'll let you know. Let you off the hook, Coach Howard. Gildan is the parent company of main brands like Fruit of the Loom, Dickies, and Champion Sports Apparel. Never even knew that. Had to do some research and find out, but that's who they are. It's going to be probably an evenly meshed game because you've got two teams that hover around 500. You've got a 7-6 and a 6-6, which in my opinion still doesn't deserve a bowl game, but you know, that's just where we are in today's society. So they'll be playing in the Gildan New Mexico Bowl on Saturday. Then you've got the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, and that will be against the Max Buffalo Bison against the San Diego State Aztecs. That's an 8-4 versus a 7-5, a MAC team versus a Mountain West team. Hopefully that will be a good game. And definitely want to give a shout-out to the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech, the mighty Yellow Jackets, Go Jackets, going up to Nashville, Tennessee to play against the University of Mississippi, also known as Ole Miss, the Rebels, and the Nashville Music City Bowl. Wish them the best of luck, Coach Buzz, Coach Siwak, Coach Johnson. Do your thing up there. Show them how we do it in Atlanta, and I wish you nothing but the best. Again, folks, you have listened to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. I want to thank you for your time. Also want to give another shout-out to Coach Derek Branch and Commissioner Derek Branch and all of his ventures and what he's trying to do with football, not only in Hawaii, but also international with his Arena Football League in China. Want to wish him nothing but the best. And we'll be back on the air probably Sunday, maybe Sunday, from our new location from who knows where in Texas, but we will be relocating. But we will definitely keep you informed on our whereabouts and when we'll be broadcasting. I want to thank you for listening in to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. I have been your host, running my mouth, doing what I do best, talking way too much. I am Motormouth Mosley, and thank you so very much for tuning in. Have a great weekend, and Merry Christmas to everyone.